I'd be an idiot to do that, because I was an idiot before when I was doing that. But thank God I am saved, saved, saved. The writer put it in there. Terrific. We need to tell people about it and know what we're saved from a world of sin. I don't understand how you can be a Christian and keep doing the same things you did before you got saved. I thought you got saved from that junk. I wonder about somebody's salvation that does that. And the Bible says that we should wonder that too. We want to talk about the preaching of the cross of foolishness. The world thinks what we're doing is foolish. That's what the Bible says here. But he also says that if you're saved, you like this. The preaching of the cross is foolishness, but to the saved, those that are saved, they love it. They love this old time. You can tell people when they go outdoor and they're madder than an old wet setting hen, they must not have been saved if they didn't like the preaching of the cross. Amen? When your pea patch gets all tore up and all messed up, that means you got to get something out. You got to get the weeds out of it. You got to get right with God. And know the Lord and Jesus Christ is our Savior. I want to list about four or five things in the time we have this morning. And most of my people know I'm not long-winded. I'm just loud. And I figure you hear it the first time, and I give it to you second and third, but I'm not going to rehash it and up and down and keep you till you're thinking, when's he going to shut up? Like the little boy in church had his money in his hand. The preacher was preaching, and he said, Grandma, if we give him the money, do you think he'll shut up? So I'll try to shut up when I'm supposed to. The guy asked me, can you preach for 5 minutes? I only got 5 minutes to give you. I was at a meeting. I said, I sure can. I got a sermon. I can preach it in 5 minutes. I can preach it in 10 minutes. I can preach that. I can make it go an hour if you want me to. But we can need to tell the story over and over and over. Amen. And it has been a great time in a reviving of the Spirit. Number one, you ready? Write it down. The preaching of the cross will solve the murder problem. We have big chaos going on all over the country. Some of the religious leaders are throwing in. Our senators and congressmen are holding up their hand and trying to find out which way the wind's blowing before which side they jump on about what they're going to answer about how to solve the problem. To solve the problem, we got to get into the heart of man. It's not wicked minds that kills God. It's bad hearts. Jesus said it. And listen to what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it? You do not know, listen to me, you do not know what you will do on a given moment if temptation gets you in the right position. You do not know. That's why your heart needs to be controlled, first of all, washed in the blood of Jesus, and then controlled by His Holy Spirit. Amen. You don't know. And some of you do it and don't know what you're doing when you're doing it. James says the tongue is a wicked part of the body, and the tongue says things that you can never erase or never bring back. But the heart is desperately wicked. Understand that. People say, oh, follow your heart. Not if you're not saved. And don't follow your heart if you're not letting Jesus control your heart. Amen. Lady came to me one time and wanted me to marry her. She was living with a man she wasn't married to and been married 3 times. And she said, I want you to marry us next Friday. I said, listen, I want to tell you something. There's a lot of backing up and getting straightened out we got to do for this. She said, well, you're the 9th preacher that I've asked, and you're all saying the same thing. I said, well, you should get the message. She called me back 2 days later. She said, I found a preacher downtown, said he would do it. I said, isn't it something? You're going to take 1 out of 10. And we can find anybody to agree with our sin. But the heart has to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. He went on to say, Jeremiah, in the Word of God, in verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. Let the Lord check it out. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. God will let you do any stupid thing you want to do. Someday, you and God will meet face to face, and then it will be a payday. But God says, freely to me. God put Adam and Eve in the garden. He says, do everything in here, eat everything, do it, but just don't eat the fruit of that tree over there. That's the only thing I'm asking you not to do. They had one command, one do not. As a matter of fact, God has a lot of do nots today. Thou shall not. I wonder what part of it some people don't understand. Thou shall not. Thou shall not. For a while, they had these big signs. Can you remember a few years back when they had these big electronic signs? And would say, what part of no don't you understand? Don't make me come down there. Did your parents ever say that? Don't make me come down there. I'm going to skin you alive. And we all need a good skinning once in a while with a preaching, don't we? Don't Don't you like to get in a church where the preacher just skins you up one side and down the other and gets you right and gets you shaken up, straightened out? So God, we have to have God get in control of our hearts by salvation and then leading us by His Spirit. In Matthew 15:19, He says, "For out of the heart," this is Jesus speaking, it's all the Word of God, "proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness." So we're going to solve, it's not a gun problem, it's a murder problem, and it's a heart problem, and that's what we need to get the root of. When we took Bible out of school and we're telling people we don't need God, we don't need church, these kids, we're getting them too young and taking them to camps and getting them in Bible school and all of that, that's foolishness. We got to let them open up and have some fun and enjoy the world a little bit. You're trying to rein them in too hot, tight. God says, if we don't get the heart under control, Paul talks about our conscience being seared with a hot iron. That's where we've got to. All of us have a conscience. And if that conscience is massaged and is constantly reminded of the things of God, when I went to school, I mean, the teacher would open the Bible, read the Word of God. There were certain things that we knew that was wrong. And when I was living a life of sin, if you'd have said to me, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm probably going to burst hell wide open," because I knew it. My conscience was still there, and my mother's prayers prayed for me. And I kept drinking more and more to try to get all that stuff out of my head because it was constant conviction. And she said, "I'm praying for you, John. I'm praying for you." Thank God for my... And by the way, you can do that too, for your children, for your grandchildren, for your neighbors, for anybody. They can reject you, and you can hand them track, and they throw them in the trash can, but just keep praying. Don't give up. Pull on that prayer rope, and God will do something. They may die and go to hell, but they'll go to hell over your prayers and over God's conviction. We got a country that is conscience is no more, and we preachers are responsible. We're saying, "Oh, we're not going to get involved in our government." Our government was created by preachers. Did you know preachers were the signers of the Constitution? You know preachers were there? It was preachers that moved. They laid down their Bibles, picked up their rifles, went with war. It was preachers. We're the conscience of America. When David sinned as the leader, it was Nathan the preacher come in and said, "Thou art the man," pointed his finger at him. "Oh, we're not supposed to." Yes, we are supposed to talk about sin. If you got something stinking, if your neighbor's got rats, it ain't long till you have rats. Amen? So we're in the rat-killing business. We want to stop sin. It's washing up like an ocean on the shore, like tin cans and garbage, and we just keep backing up and backing up. It's time we start building walls to stop the sin in our life, in our churches. Let judgment begin at the house of God, he said. If we don't have it right, the world's never going to have it right. And we don't stop just because somebody says, "I don't like it." There's a lot of things they don't like. A lot of things I don't like. I wish God didn't say what you talked about this morning. Love to those that hate you. I'd like to hate them. But that's what I got to do. He said I got to do it, so I better do it, right? And I'm going to be happy when I do and miserable when I don't. Of course, there's a lot of things I don't like. I didn't like fried potatoes with onions in them. My mom cooked them for my dad. Got in trouble. One time I was eating them. I was taking them and sticking them in my pocket. I had to eat at the table like that. The boys sat on the bench and girls sat over here. My mom went to wash. "What's this in your shirt?" She put me up there and give me a spanking. You know what I love today? I love my wife to chop them onions up and them fried potatoes. But I didn't like it then. A lot of things I didn't like. Man, you know, but it what we don't like sometimes is good for us. And I didn't like what I got on my behind. We've thrown that away. That's connected to the conscience. It's amazing. There's a little spiritual nerve that goes from a kid's butt to his brain and back to his heart. And when you hit that, you turn that on. You vibrate that. Make it vibrate. Boom, boom. Oh, Mama, I won't do that no more. Yeah, that's what I want to hear. That's what I want to hear. But you say, no. No, 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 no. He's saying, no. No. Wham! No, I won't do that no more. I mean, come on. We let the devil and the world and the psychologists and Ann Landers and whoever else that out there trying to tell, "Oh, the poor little darlings, you shouldn't do it." Give the poor little darlings what they need. Amen. And they'll grow up and be fine young men and women. God says if we do it, God will bless it later on in their life. Out of the heart. Remember, we've got to get to the heart of the problem. We've got to get to people's heart. And that's what the preaching of the cross does. Somebody says, I don't like to hear that. How can a cross? I can't see the blood of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things I can't see, but it works. Amen. I can't see the wind, but boy, I see what it did. Amen. And Jesus said the Holy Spirit is like the wind, didn't he?
Right.
You're not going to see it, but when it starts moving, it'll do something. Amen? It'll move things that nobody else can move.
Yes.
Do you see that carport up the road here? Bus turned over. God's speaking to us. Yeah, God's speaking to us. He said, in the last days, you'll see storms in different places like you never saw them before. He said, God's trying to speak to America. God's trying to give us a chance with some of the Doug Mastriano. He's trying to give us some chance, put some Christian. God's given us one last chance at this election. We need to stand up for God and the things of God. It'll solve our drug problems. When I got saved, nobody had to take me through a drug course, and I was on the biggest drug that you could have, alcohol. I was addicted to it. Guy used to say, let's go have a couple beers. I said, I ain't going with you. I'm going where we can drink a case. I mean, I would drink it all. I'm not proud of that. I'm just telling you, I was into it. It had a hold on me. It really did. But when God saved me, I knew that was the first thing I had to get rid of because that was a list of my problems. But people who get saved and say, oh, I just can't give it up. You need a shot of hell. You know what? The pulpits quit preaching on hell. When I saw hell the night before I got saved, I dreamed I was dying and going to hell. And when I saw that real, I said, buddy, this is the end of this stuff. And I'm giving it up. I gave up drinking, smoking, cussing, lying, chasing. I'd give it all up because I didn't want to do that anymore. I think if we could get the heart, he says in Galatians 5:19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, all that stuff that has to do with the drug world. He says God wants to take that from us and save our soul and get our hearts right for him. It'll solve the drug problem. He says in Ephesians 4:19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Actually, the problem is about most sin, we care more about ourselves than we do about somebody else. I can't quit. I've tried. You don't want to quit. You want an excuse to be a baby. And that's what you are, a selfish baby, when you have stuff in your heart and life that you don't want to give up, that you know that's wrong against God. Amen?
Amen.
Say, oh me, or ouch, or my, or praise God, or something. Because the saved like it, and the unsaved need it. Amen? It'll solve those problems. It'll solve the disobedience problem. We got a disobedient problem. We got a mayor out in California who's going to tell the illegals to run their company. That's disobedience to the Constitution. That is treason against the Constitution of the United States. She should be locked up in prison for the rest of her life. We're putting up with stuff And no wonder our kids want to rebel against authority. We've got adults and world and leaders of our government that are rebelling against authority. Right's right and wrong's wrong. You can't say, well, I'm going to do wrong because they're doing wrong and I want to do something wrong to correct it. No, we don't do that. The rest of the world may walk another way, but I want to follow God. If God's for it, I'm for it. If God's against it, I'm against it. And that's a simple way to take the Word of God and the things of God. Ephesians 5:6, he said, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. God's wrath is getting ready to move. And God's beginning to speak like he's never spoke before to this generation. And of all people, America, where we've had it and we've had it. And had a lifetime of Billy Graham and others, evangelists who were preaching the word. John Wesley and all those men who came before and preached the word of God. And built a tabernacle out in Philadelphia. And we have the signs out there of great men of God who preached the word and preached the word. And we've had it. Billy Sunday said what America needs back in the 1930s is about 6 months of nothing but preaching on hell.
Amen.
And if it needs 6 months of it, then it must need 60 years right now. We just don't believe there is a hell. So we put it in the textbooks. That's a bunch of foolishness. And we give it to our children. And they don't believe there's a hell today. So that's why they live like hell. Because they don't believe there's a hell for punishment. We're in a mess. But the preaching of the cross will solve our problem. Colossians 3:6, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children disobedience. Are they disobedient? We know that Tattoos are wrong. The Bible says it. But everybody's got to have it today. Got to paint yourself. And for first place, why would you want to put any more scars on your ugly face anyway? And you can't walk, you can't look, because everywhere you look, somebody's got something, and they got something hanging out with a tattoo on it. And you're thinking, my God, this is a crazy, crazy world. I probably told you before, I saw a man over at Sheets one morning years ago in Everett. And he had tattoos all over him. He had metal hanging out, had a vest on. I don't know what he had that vest on for. Had it all over him, and I'm standing there, and he turned around, and he said, "What are you looking at?" I said, "I'm looking at you. I haven't seen anything quite as crazy as what I'm looking at." I said, "What is wrong with you? Mind your own business." I said, "I'm glad you brought that up. It is my business to tell people about the Lord. I'd like to tell you about the Lord who said you shouldn't mark or scar your body. And does it say that in the Bible?" I said, "It absolutely does. Absolutely does." "Well, I never heard that." I said, "Come on, let's sit down and talk." "No, I got to get me some. Get on my bike and go ride. I'm cool, man. And going to ride right into a place that's going to burn you up. You think you're cool? Oh, we're so cool. We're so suave. We're so good today." So it'll solve the disobedience problem. That leads to all the other problems. There are certain things that if you don't heed, there's going to be danger ahead. And number four, it will solve the racial problem. I grew up racial. Kentucky did not integrated schools till 1957. I graduated in 1956. Somebody said they graduated cum laude. I graduated, oh my Lordy. I barely made it. If it hadn't been for girlfriends cheating and doing my homework, I probably would have never made it. And basketball. I was going to quit my junior year. I grew about 6 inches to come back to school. They made me the center. I'd stand in there and take the ball and pass it off and put it in there. And them girls were jumping up and down on the side saying, "He's our peaches, he's our cream, he's the captain of our team. Hi, Hodge." I said, "I think I'll stick around this place now. This is better than farming." And I did. And I got a scholarship to the University of Kentucky. Only thing was, I didn't get to go, was in a tobacco patch. And Dad said, "John, they're not going to pay for everything. They're just going to say you can come there for 1 year and learn how to pay." Adolph Rupp, you ever hear of him? He was the coach. And they had my report where they said what I did. They said, "Hodges got 5 fouls and used all 5 of them before the game's over." I thought that's what you're supposed to do. Coach said, "Take him out." I thought he meant that, man. I took him out. He didn't score. It wasn't going to be no 3-point plays on me. He might get 2 foul shots and make them both, but he wasn't going to make the foul shot and want to go there. He wasn't going to get to the goal. Amen? That's the way I play. And that's the way we ought to play life, and that's the way we ought to go for Jesus. When he says, go, go. Amen. When he says, do something, we do it. He said, pray. Yes. Oh, I just don't know how to pray. I want to tell you something. There's going to come a storm in your life one day, and you'll know how to pray. You'll know how to pray. A woman said, "I'm an atheist." About that time, her child was running towards the highway, and a car came running down the road, tires screaming, and the child out in front of the car, and she said, "Oh, my God!" Oh, where's the atheist at now? There are no atheists in foxholes either, they said. God's real, but God will do whatever it takes to make you bend before him. God will do whatever it takes. God took that child of David's when David sinned. And David was weeping in sackcloth and ashes. And David was crying. And David was repenting. But David got to the issue. He finally realized the truth of the matter. It was my fault. This child is dead. And he said, "I can't bring the child back. But praise God, sweet children, I can go to the child. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. You can know you're saved and know you're going to heaven. Isn't it a wonderful thing? No matter how rough life gets, no matter how bad it gets, no matter how distraught, how many problems he comes, thank God there's a heaven and we're going to be there. And all of this will be in the past. All of it will be done away with. Work, for the night is coming when no man shall work. Praise God. It'll solve the racial problem. So I grew up, our courthouse, I'll never forget, we had 4 restrooms. We had white women, black women. That's the way we was raised. They had the black school and they had the white school. And we lived right on the Ohio line, the Ohio River. One time we got to go play basketball to a team that was in Ohio. Big, great, big guy in there. And the coach said, "He's your man, Hodge." I thought, wow, what did I get into? I took that guy every way but loose, man. I mean, he was bloody when he come up. they beat us, I don't know, I think it was 21-5 or something like that. And that guy come over and he said, "Sir, wanted to shake your hand, played a good game." I thought, that guy saying that to me after I was so dirty to him? You know, I thought about that. You know where I got my education about black and white was in the Army. Had these guys from all over the country, all over the place. And when God saved me, I realized that the blood of all men is equal. The Bible says that. This is what will solve our racial problem. Our past president, he created a problem that we haven't had since way back when, and it's been worse and still getting worse. But you know, a lot of black people are coming out now, and they're speaking out forcefully for that. But just remember, you don't judge a man by the color of his sin. God judges him by his heart. If he's saved, he's my brother. I don't care what color he is or what language he speaks. Amen? That's what will solve it. We can't legislate it. We can't bust it. We can get it through the ministry and the Holy Spirit of God cleanses our heart, and nobody judges us for what we're inside, outside, but what's inside. Praise God. Mother said to the little boy that black boy was painting the fence and got the white paint all over him. She said, "I don't know whose child you are now. Whether you're white or whether you're black. It doesn't matter what you are on the outside. It's what you are on the inside." Praise God. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14, he says, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his place the enmity, even the law of commandments, constrained in ordinance, for to make of himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God, one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity between." Where that enmity comes between people, all kinds of problems, the cross is laid down and God makes right, right, and wrong, wrong. And we can be saved and at peace with God, with whomever, wherever we come in contact with Him. Praise God. It'll solve all these problems. We need to have preaching in this country. We don't need more welfare programs. We don't need more education programs. We're educated way beyond our intelligence anyway. We need to get God back in everything. Get God in our schools. Get God in our churches. Get God in our government. And the preaching of the cross, and get preachers having revivals. When Billy Graham was preaching, he went to the Sin City. He went to Hollywood. He went to wherever, New York, wherever they were, to preach the gospel, because that's where the problem was. Jesus said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." Now, if I bought me a brand new boat and brand new fishing rod, and I parked the boat out in my front yard and I sat there in the boat and threw the lure out, and you come by and say, "What are you doing, Pastor Hodge?" "I'm fishing." You say, no, you don't understand. You've got to go to the lake. If we're going to be fishers of men, we got to go where fish are. Amen. We got to go out and fish. And then, you know, when you fish, and he had it right this morning when he told us, you catch them, bring them in, throw them in the sink, come back 3 days later and say, "Oh, my Lordy." Right? So you got to clean them. That's another thing we got to do. We got to catch them, then we got to clean them. God will clean them for us and help us clean them. We bring them in. That's what He said. Teach them all things. That's the cleaning. That's getting them up, getting them working for God. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have Sunday night. That's why we have Wednesday night. That's why we have Bible study. That's why we have a ladies' Bible. Get yourself clean, cleaned up, so you can help clean other people's up. Clean the fish that you catch for God. We're responsible. Amen? That He might reconcile both to God, but in one body by the cross. Verse 17, and came and preached peace. We've got less peace in this country than we've ever had any time. Wouldn't you say that's true? We've never seen two political parties that are crashing more. It doesn't matter what this guy says, this guy's going to be against it. It doesn't matter what this guy says, he's going to be against it. They're even go back and play reels where this guy was for what he's now saying, but he's not going to be it just because he said it. Well, we're crazy. We are absolutely crazy. Just don't like him. I ain't going to agree with anything he says. Of course, the stop clock's right twice a day. Guy says, "I'm right once in a while." I said, "Well, it's those of stop clock, amen. Some people don't do nothing. Just spin around, it'll come back around sooner or later." And he says in verse 18, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." That's how we get to his Spirit. The Bible says his Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. You know when you got Holy Spirit inside of you. You see, you got one baptism. By the way, we got our work going on back here, amen. You ever drive down the road and you have to go around in a bump around and it says road under construction. We got We got construction going on back here. You're going to like it. But one faith, one Lord, one baptism. When you got saved, His Spirit took your spirit and baptized you into Christ, and you're in there to stay. But we have to have many feelings. We have one baptism of the Spirit and our salvation, but many filling us up. And He won't fill us up when we get filled with that other garbage of the world. We got to come to the altar and empty it all out. Get rid of all that garbage in there. You don't set out the glasses for somebody comes to your house that you had dinner with yesterday. That glass is dirty. That's okay. Just had drink in it. You're going to drink more drink, so what's the difference? Huh? Well, that's where our lives is. He says He wants you to be a vessel, and He wants you clean. And you say, oh, God, clean me. Search my heart, oh, Lord. Make me clean. And then fill me with the Spirit of God so I can do the work of God. Amen? Be a vessel, chosen vessel, filled with the Spirit and the power of God. He says, now therefore you no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God. Some of us are strangers to the things of God because we don't get around God enough. You know where John liked to get? He liked to get up right close to God. That's where I want to be, right close to Him. I want to hear what He says, real close to the voice of God. And number five, this preaching of the cross will solve the sexual misconduct problem. They're talking about it everywhere, in the office, in the government, in Hollywood of all places. I mean, that's all they do out there anyway, and now they realize some of it's wrong. I mean, what's wrong with those crazy people? He says in Ephesians 5:3, but fornication, and by the way, fornication means any sexual contact that is not in agreement with the Word of God. And the only sexual contact that is agreed by the Word of God is one man, one woman who are married in holy matrimony to God. That's the only kind of sex that God knows anything about. Anything else is fornication. Anything else is corrupt. Anything else is evil. Anything else is wrong. Okay? I don't care who does it, the preacher, the preacher's wife, the sheriff's daughter. It doesn't matter who does it. It is wrong. And when we say it's wrong and come and get to the altar, then we're clean and we're on the right road again. Amen? That's the way it goes. This church at Corinth had a problem. But he said, but fornication and all uncleanness. You know something that they're not telling us? All this sexual, homosexual, and trans is the biggest carriers of diseases and cancer, but the Center for Disease and Control in Atlanta is not publishing it because the government doesn't want them to tell how much garbage, because then you'll be seen, oh, you're anti-gay. You got that right. Write that down. I'm really against that stuff. Amen. I'm anti-anything that's dirty and filthy. I am not for that. Amen? Oh, Pastor Hodge, you really are something. You don't love people. Yes, I love people, but I hate sin. God loves people, but He hates sin. Amen. And we all should hate sin. Say, oh, it's their right. They do not have a right to do that. No. People say, oh, I'm a Christian, Pastor Hodge, but I'm just not going to say anything about it because I got two neighbors that are a little bit gay. How are you a little bit gay? They said to me, they're a little bit gay. How are you a little bit gay? I quite figured that out. And she said, they are good neighbors, and I'm not going to talk against it. Well, I said, let them come to me. I'll preach it and preach it, and when I have got any more breath in me, I'll shout it, I'll kick it, I'll do everything I can to it till I get to heaven. Amen. Of all the things that God describes in the Bible, and I'll give you a verse here in a moment, God describes it as the worst. Because when God created one man, one woman, and married them in the garden, that was supposed to be sacred between those two. God planned things that way. And so God doesn't want, and God chose that way to bring other people into this world. He said in Ephesians 5:3, but fornication, uncleanness, or covetous, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Because they were having it in Corinth at the church. They actually had a stepson who was sleeping with his stepmother. Paul said, I've never heard of such craziness. All that stuff. It will solve the homosexual and gender problem. Paul said in Leviticus, here's your verse. People say, where do you get that in the Bible? Old and New Testament, both. You want to write it down. Leviticus 18:22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. God didn't give a long description. Oh, if you was born different, or if your parents mistreated you, or you got all this problem, said, I'm coming out of the closet. I wish these idiots would go back in the closet. I mean, really, really, you're going to give some excuse for being, well, you can look at him and see he's a little bit feminine. People say, are you ever going to, get on your feminine side, Pastor Hodge? I said, every time I get home, when my wife is cooking fried potatoes and onions, I get on my feminine side. Amen. I like that feminine side. Don't you?
Right.
Don't you?
Amen.
Hey, but as a matter of fact, God says we're to love our wives. He don't say we're to love and have sex with another man. He said we're to love our wives. He says, thou shalt not do that. In Leviticus 20:13, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be upon them. Pretty serious what God is saying about it, isn't it? God doesn't care what the Supreme Court says. God doesn't care what the president says. God doesn't care what some preacher dressed up in his skin-tight breeches and boots and speaks like a sissy and saying, oh, I'm your gay pastor. I never found it in the Bible. By the way, didn't say anything for any women either. We've let the women take over, and then a men's going to go hunting and do whatever they do and let the women take over, and the women and kids go to church. Then after a while, you got the queers taking over, and now we just don't have anything left, and you got that church, and we're going to have a gay pastor. And everybody's saying, how did we get this far? When men did stand up to the plate and take their stand for God and teach them the Word of God. Our kids need good role models of men who are men and real men stand for God.
Amen.
Romans 1:26, the whole passage there, I'll not read it. This is in the New Testament. He says, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature, and men with men. Verse 27, likewise also, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And people saying, Pastor Hodge, get off of it. Why should I get off of it? It's the number one sin in America today. And God says when we let it go and it gets worse, then God finally gives up on them. Three times in that chapter one, God says he gives them over to a reprobate mind. God gives up on them. There comes a day when you cross a line with God that there is no more chances with God. The Bible says, my spirit will not always strive. God will come and God will knock. But one day God says, I'm sick of this mess. I believe God is counting down America's last days for the funeral. I really believe that with all my heart. And God's given us a chance for resuscitation. The very God that breathed breath into the dirt, man, Adam, and made life in him, will breathe breath into America and our life again when we get back to God and the breath of God, the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? But we are traveling down a very, very wicked road. Very wicked road. We've just taken the most beautiful thing that God put between man and woman and making a mockery of God. And it says, behold, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that also shall he reap. And we're seeing the reaping of it. In Deuteronomy 22:5, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto man, neither a man put on a woman's garment, and all that do so are abomination to the Lord thy God. I'm going to stop right here and say something so you're corrected. I'm not talking about pants on women. As a matter of fact, some women need to cover up a little bit more, so get you a longer pair of pants or whatever. All right? I'm talking about dressing up and putting on makeup and looking like a woman and wearing the necklaces and the earrings and all that garbage. That's what he's talking about. And wearing a woman's dress. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about that. Some preachers will stand and preach for an hour about stuff that does not in the Bible. Let's preach what the Bible says. He doesn't want a woman looking like a man and a man looking like a woman. I remember the first time I went to a Baptist Bible college right out shortly after I got saved. I was trying to learn the Word of God. And I had my books and I went to the restroom and I looked, said, men, I walked in. I'm standing at the mirror, looked over in the next mirror. There was the most beautiful hair. And as a matter of fact, he talks about in Revelation. He said, talks about that crowd of men that will take over this world. He said, with hair like a woman. You ought to be able to tell a man by his haircut. The Bible says, doesn't nature itself teach it to you that long hair belongs on a woman? You don't have to skin it off as close as I got mine, but you better have a haircut that looks like a man.
Amen.
That's what God says. Don't argue with me, argue with God. Didn't he say that? I like it I like the natural look. Clean cut kid, man. You know. Do it right. But seriously, listen to what he says. We need to do what God says. Why would you want to look like a woman? I mean, what is wrong with a person? I mean, it makes me want to just cringe. I mean, to think that somebody wants to paint themselves up and let their hair and put rouge and stuff on and look like that. Hey, give me a shot of soap and water and I'm okay, all right? I mean, I don't need any feminine smell about me. I don't need any feminine clothes. I don't need any silk underwear. I don't need any of that stuff. I am happy with who I am. I am a man. I'm like Dad, amen? And I know how Dad goes to the bathroom, and I know how Mom goes. And I want to be like Dad. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. That'll solve our problem when we teach kids. People say, you shouldn't talk about that. Well, they hear about it in the school, in the bathrooms, and so that they think that's the way to go. We've raised up a generation that thinks it should be done the way educated. Oh, Pastor Rod, you're just not educated. Oh, yeah. I'm like little Jimmy Dickens. I got my education out behind the barn. And I know how it's done. And I know what's right. And you can't get the animals to do the crazy stuff we're getting humans to do. And you can't get the female animals that are pregnant to abort their young. As a matter of fact, if you go in that stall with that animal, hey, and you've heard me tell you, when you try to take the eggs out from under an old set then, she'll claw your eyes out. Because that's where her babies are going to come from. But we got women saying, oh, I don't want this part of my body. I got to get rid of this blob. Listen, there's a hell for doctors, for nurses, for hospitals, for dads who allowed it to happen to their child. My goodness, it's getting past time. We need to find a shut up place, right? Get you want one of those 45 minutes, not an hour sermon, right? Okay. Conclusion to all this: Christ is the answer to all our sin problems. That's what I'm trying to tell you. The preaching of the cross is foolish to the world, but it is the answer. In 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. People say, Pastor, I just have a hard time with this. Listen, there is a command in the Bible to forsake not assembling yourselves together. He says, if we walk in the light, God's saying to do something, that's the light. And if you don't walk in the light, then you don't have the victory or the blood cleansing you from sins that have gotten on you since you were saved. And we all sin. He says, do what I tell you to do. It's like you tell your child. He comes into the house. He's your child. He's been playing in the dirt. You're going to eat. And he jumps up and says, I'm ready to eat. And you say, no, you're not. You're not ready to eat. Why ain't I ready to eat, Mommy? Because you've got to wash your dirty hands and your dirty face. God says, you're not ready to do my service. You've got to come in and get your spiritual hands washed and your face washed. He said, I'm going to wash your feet to the disciples. He didn't say, I'm going to wash you all over again. You're already saved, but you've been out in the world walking. You got dirty. Ministry is dirty work. You get out and try to win people to the Lord and work with people. And sometimes you get so mad you want to knock their fool head off. And then you realize I'm the problem. I got to go get myself clean. I got to go to the altar of God and get myself cleaned up to do God's work. Amen. So we need to walk in the light as he is in the light. He don't go left, right. He goes straight ahead. If there's a wall, he'll make a way through it. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We all need a trip to the altar every now and then. As a matter of fact, it don't hurt to get too much. You might go to the bathrooms, try to wash your spot off and find out it's a mold. Huh? You ever done that? Try to wash that mold off. Get some what's that stuff you scrub the sink with? And, you know, try to scrub them black spots off. Can't get them off. Well, you might get some things like that, spirit life, but, you know, it's okay. It's okay to come and say, Lord, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I think there's something wrong with me, and I want you to help me, Lord. And God will do it. God will do it. God's not going to get mad a child comes and says, Mommy, I want to hug you. You say, for what? I just want to hug you, Mommy. I want to sit on your lap, Daddy. Why? I just want to sit on your lap. The Lord's not going to get mad if you say, I want to love you. I want to be close to you. I want to know you. Get close to God. Let's stand for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to Thee this morning and thank You for Jesus Christ as our Savior. And Lord, we probably know that many, many in this room are saved. Perhaps there are some that not. We wanted to mention that in a moment. But Lord, to those of us that are saved, may we get right with God in every area. And all these things that we mentioned, the preaching of the cross, to solve those. We can't associate with sin, agree with sin, and agree with the world. Lord, it's a fight. It's all the way to glory. And the blood of the cross is the answer. And we're never going to win the lost world to Jesus if we're not right in our hearts and lives. And have that Holy Spirit and that precious blood cleansing us day by day, moment by moment. Pray for everyone in this house this morning to be cleansed, washed completely. And then, Lord, I pray for those that perhaps might be here this morning that have never been born again, truly born again, truly saved. Today would be the day when they'd come to Christ and be saved. To God be the glory. As the instruments play for just a moment, head bowed and eyes closed. Not going to keep you much longer, but this is the Holy Spirit's working time. Just give it an opportunity to work in somebody's heart. If you're here this morning and you're not 100% sure you're saved and on your road to heaven, you're not really sure, you don't even know a time or a place, you just kind of got into church and you just kind of came and you feel like you got saved somewhere along the line. If you're not really sure, would you raise your hand and say, You are speaking to me. Pray for me. And that's all I want to do is go pray for you. I'll never mention it. You can bring it up to me, but I'll never bring it up to you. I just want to pray for you. Would you put up your hand and say, that's me. Pray for me. I'm not 100% sure. I'm not really sure if I die today, I'd go to heaven. I want to know for sure. I want to be sure of my salvation. Pray for me. Would you put your hand up? Anyone like that? Perhaps you're here this morning and you've got family members, brothers, sisters, co-workers, and you know some like that, and you'd like for us to pray for them in this invitation. Would you raise your hand and say, I got somebody like that on my heart. God bless you. God bless you. Many hands up. Well, it does work when you pray for the lost. We're to pray for them. Jesus prayed. Paul said, I could wish myself a curse for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to those Israelites, those Jews. I'm praying for them. I'm praying for them. It's okay to pray for them. Dear Lord, we pray for the unsaved and those that have mentioned unsaved and have unsaved concern. We pray that they would find the Lord Jesus Christ and our life would be clean and pure in a testimony. And Lord, show us, show me where I do things or say things that's contrary to your will and Lord, might hinder someone from coming to Christ. Now while we wait a couple more minutes, if you want to come and pray for those people right now, I usually find out we pray for what we're going to pray for when we say we're going to pray. We wait, we forget to pray. If you want to come, the altar's open to come and pray for anyone, any need that you might see or know about. It's open. No matter who you are, you can come pray. Probably on the screen if your hymn book, Just As I Am. Just As I Am. You can't make yourself any better for God. You can't clean yourself up. You can't change your ways. Only God can do that for you. Just As I Am. Billy Graham had this song played at every invitation of every service that he ever preached. Thousands walked out. I don't know if they was all saved or not. Only God knows that. But if any amount of them was saved, it was worth every effort they put into it. There was things Billy Graham did in his later years that I wouldn't think about doing. I mean, he had Jewish rabbis sitting on the platform. I don't know what all that was about. But I know one thing. There were some people that got saved. And so God be the glory. I don't glorify the man, to God be the glory. And just as I am, is he chose that because that's the only way we can come to God. Most places we think, well, I'm trying to do better. You'll never do any better. You can clean it up on the outside, but it takes him to clean it on the inside. Let's sing that second verse. We'll be having our communion, our service tonight. Thank you for being out, and thanks for coming and supporting our banquet again and all that we did. I just praise God for that. And I believe God just shows me over and over, the more we give to God, the more he gives back. You can't outgive God. He's got a bigger shovel than you got. God is in the giving business and loving business. Just keep loving and giving and praising God. Brother Roy, would you have our closing prayer?